Yes, you want to go through the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, the davening of Rosh Hashanah. So first of all, we have here an insert, Zochreinu L'chaim, Melechobes B'chaim, Sveim Sevecham L'chaim. So basically, the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the source of our understanding of Rosh Hashanah, Torah Shebaal Sav is very little, very, very little about it, says that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaRasolam. It's the birthday of the world. When God created the world, it was Rosh Hashanah. It was the first. Our Jewish calendar goes back to the first day. So it's 5,777 years. Rosh Hashanah will be since. And the day that it was the sixth day of creation, and Adam HaRishon was created. It doesn't go back to the first day. First 6 days is not counted. We start counting from Adam HaRishon. He was created on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so. So the point is that every year, this is the big idea of the Zohar and the Kabbalah, Chassidus, that the energy of creation reoccurs every single year. God recreates the world. Hashem makes the world all over again. So basically, it's not as if that we say, oh, God created the world, now the world goes on automatic pilot. Not true. There's continuous renewals. The world might collapse any second. It could go back to oblivion, but Hashem keeps it going, and it's a new creative energy. So there's always a new creative energy, actually, every day. Machadesh b'chol yom, tamid maaseh gracious. God is continuously renewing the world. But in Rosh Hashanah, which was the original act of creation, there's a completely new energy which comes into the world to give the world another year. Another year. So that's why, and we don't know, you know. And another thing that Torah Shebaal Peh says is that it's not a simple, decision. In other words, otherwise, again, it'd be automatic pilot that God made that original decision. It just keeps on renewing itself every 12 months, every year. No, every year, just like God made in the decision originally to create the world, He has to make now another decision. He makes now another decision to do it for another year. It's a new decision. And basically it depends completely on what people did the past year. The whole purpose of the world was to create people. People are the purpose of creation. Adam. And Adam also, of course, means the Jewish people. So what we did the past year will determine whether it'll be another year. Who knows? So that's why the Chaim is a theme, is a major theme in the davening. So Chaim l'Chaim. We want God to please renew our life, give us another year of life. Now here, everybody says, and this it says a very interesting thing. Melech chofetz b'chaim. God wants life. So first of all, we have the Hashem. He has a tendency to give life. So we're dealing with something which the judge has a predilection, has a preference to go on the life side to make it good. Now why does it say lemancho? For your sake. This is for your sake. So basically what we're saying is We will keep the Torah. Give us another year of life. We will keep the Torah. It will be a good investment. It's Laman Cha Elokim Chaim. For you, God, it's an investment. You should keep it going. It's a little bit audacious on our part to say that, but we're desperate. Basically, we're desperate. We don't know. No one knows. The Rambam writes, no one knows. If you're a big tzaddik, so you go right away into the Sefer Chaim. If you're a big Rasha, you go right away into the Sefer of Misa. And if you're a Beinoni, you go for 10 days till Yom Kippur. And then Yom Kippur, you're going to wind up in Chaim because Hashem, you're going to do tshuva and Hashem is going to have mercy. But in Rosh Hashanah, this is way before Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is just plain din. Merits, demerits. So we don't know what the average person is a Beinoni. We don't know. Because one sin could be as much as 1,000 mitzvos. Rambam writes, we don't have any idea how to figure out. You can't just keep a log. Every day I'll go to sleep, and before I go to sleep, I'll write down in my notebook how many mitzvahs did I do today and how many aveiros I did today. You can do it. You can keep such a log. By the way, I think it's a good idea to keep such a log. You'd be surprised how many mitzvahs you do. Because you're a reformed Jew, you'll be surprised to see how many mitzvahs you do and how few aveiros you do. We underestimate. Usually people underestimate their level. We don't realize how many mitzvahs you do, how many, and how few aveiros you do. But if you compare yourself to some other people, other nations, you would see the really tremendous difference between the list. But if you keep such a log, but still the Rambam says you can't be, even though number-wise, okay, the Vilna Gaon says every word of Torah is a new mitzvah. Okay, so I'm sitting in a shir, and every word I hear of Torah, I'm learning Torah, is another mitzvah. So it could be sitting and learning together for an hour and a half. Who knows how many words of Torah we say? So we could rack up 5,000 mitzvos in the hour and a half. Then when do we do an avera? I don't know. You go out, you make a bracha. I don't know where people do avera. You say a lashon hara once. You say something about somebody. So one lashon hara. Meanwhile, you have thousands of mitzvos you did from learning Torah. So the Rambam writes, it's not numbers. Hashem figures it out, and there's a quality. Sometimes one aveira, the quality is so bad, like 50,000 mitzvos. Sometimes one mitzvah is so good in quality that it's equal to 50,000 aveiros in quantity. So no one knows exactly how this works. Only Hashem can figure this out. He knows the mitzvah that I did, how many, let's say, down the road, how many other good things will come out of this mitzvah. Only He knows the future. If you do an aveira, so this one thing I did bad, how many bad things will come out of this aveira? Only Hashem knows. So He knows much more about the consequences. So therefore, we don't know. So when we come in on Yom Rosh Hashanah, we're very scared. We have no idea what's going to be. And we know plenty of tragedies that happen to people we know about during the past year. We're afraid could happen to us the coming year. Our friends, me, family, God forbid. So what are we going to tell Hashem? Why should He put us into the Book of Life? The answer is Lamadcha. It's for your sake, Elohim Chaim. Because I'm dedicated. So I'm going to try my best. So do that for me, because I'm going to do this for you, you do that for me. Because I'm going to do mitzvahs, I'm going to do good deeds, you give me chaim, you give me life. That's what we're saying over here in this first thing. Now, of course, it fits very well into the theme of Magen Avraham. Hashem protected Avraham. He gave Avraham a new life, and Avraham had many, many enemies, many challenges, people trying to kill him X number of times. And he had to wander, and he was going through hunger and famine, and wife being kidnapped, many problems. But Magen Avraham, Hashem protected him. So therefore, Zochreinu L'chaim, we should also be protected and get the life. Okay. Then in the next one, we say, Micha Mecha Avraham Rachamim, Zoyech Yesuv L'chaim Barachamim. Here's very interesting. We emphasize the word Rachamim, that Hashem is a merciful Father. He remembers His creatures to give them life and with mercy. So when we're davening Rosh Hashanah, we daven, there's the two images of Hashem that we use, Avinu and Malkeinu. Now, Malkeinu is more of awesome, it's a king, and it's more frightening. Melech, you know, is a frightening, can be frightening. He can punish, he can. An Av, a father is Rachamim. A father has mercy. So in Rosh Hashanah, a lot of what we're trying to do is sort of Hashem, if you can say this, Hashem is sort of caught in some kind of paradoxical situation. Is He going to be an Av? Is He going to be a Melech? Avinu Malkeinu, what's He going to do? Be an Av or be a Melech? The basic thrust of Rosh Hashanah is Melech. The basic concept of Rosh Hashanah is Hashem Melech. He is absolute control. And he is exalted. And he can demand absolute obedience. And if you don't listen, you get zapped. Like when the policeman stops you. If you're a little bit of a wise guy, boom, you get the ticket. Sometimes you put on handcuffs, put you into jail. You can't cross authority. So this is the absolute authority. So the absolute authority is, he does everything. He gives me life and he can take away life, God forbid. Give more life. Every day people are being born, other people are dying, every single day. And it's all because of this melech. The king is deciding who's going to live, mi yechiyeh mi yamus. So you can't deny that relationship. He is absolutely melech. Hashem melech, Hashem melech, Hashem yimlech l'olam v'ed. We're born into this. Anyone who dares to cross this is risking basically his life. Also life, when you speak about life, this also the Rambam explains in Halacha. When we say life, we put in the book of life. Life is, this world is life, but there's also life in the next world. And everybody in the Torah says that the next world's life is infinitely much more important than this world's life. So this world is 70 years or 120 years. Next world is a trillion years, obviously. It's very, very important to get to the next world and get that life. So when we speak Chaim, when we say God has the books of life and death open, it means not just life and death in this world, it means life and death in the next world. So that's very, very, very important. So the Avarachim, and we want Hashem to move from the Din, the Melech, absolute control, over to the soft, kind-hearted father who's helping his children make it, helping his children learn how to cope. Like a father helps his child cope as a support. So it's interesting. The first thing we said in the first blessing, we mentioned Melech, that he's a Melech. And the only way that we could really get the Melech to give us a good judgment is because Lamancha, because we are loyal to you, so therefore put us in the book of life. That's it, in the Zochrein. In the next one, in the Micha Mocha, we move over to the other idea that Hashem is Avarachimim. Avarachimim, Zeich Esuv L'chaim Barachimim. Not because we do anything for him, but because he feels for his children. The father feels for his children. He's going to be nice to his children. Because he wants the children to be happy, and he wants children to be good, and he knows that if he's soft and nice, then they'll respond, and they'll also become nice, soft, good people. So that's the next one. Okay, fine. So these are the first two statements that we make in the first two blessings. Then we get to the third blessing, called the blessing of Kedushas Hashem, Ata Kadosh, Shemcha Kadosh. And here we start talking Rosh Hashanah Musaf Freyr. So there's a bunch of paragraphs here before you finally finish the blessing. And the end of the blessing says, Baruch Ata Hashem, the next page, 196, Baruch Ata Hashem, HaMelech HaKadosh. Okay, this is very famous. That we, for the 10 days starting on Rosh Hashanah, we change from HaKel HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh. Okay. The Melech HaKadosh is like this. Usually you say HaKel HaKadosh. Now we say Melech HaKadosh. Okay. The word Kadosh, you see, Kadosh is specifically a word which has to do with being connected to Hashem. And usually, you can't define, we use the English word holy. What does that mean, holy? So it's something, you cannot define this word kadosh with other words. It's like a word which has its own meanings. So it means it's not from this world. It's a quality which is really from some other worlds. It's a spiritual quality, and it's a godliness, godly quality. It means something which connects to Hashem gets kedusha. As you say, Beis HaMikdash, why is that called Makom Kadosh? Because Hashem puts His presence there. Or we say, the Sefer Torah is Kadosh, because the words of the Sefer Torah teach me about Hashem. Or Hashem's names are in the Sefer Torah. The names connect to Him. So it's the more you connect to Hashem, the more Kedusha, which this quality comes to the fore. Now, usually there's a distance, because it's not really from this world, the Kedusha. So you say HaKel, HaKadosh. Kel is Kel in a certain way means, in a certain way, powerful but hidden. Hidden power is Kel HaKadosh. You say HaMelech HaKadosh, Rosh Hashanah, the Melech is right there. In other words, we have a front row seat at the coronation. You have a front row seat at the palace when the king is coming in. You're there. You see it. You see the Melech. So Rosh Hashanah is the day of Malchus, in which his presence, his majesty, becomes visible. The whole point of the davening is to get us to feel the reality of the Malchus, the reality of this Malchus, that it's real. So all the way we daven is literally, it's a symphony in the presence of the king. The king is here, and there's a beautiful symphony being played for him, and we're the singers. We're singing this, and the king is sitting there listening and watching, and we're in front of him. So that's the, even though usually it's Kela Kadosh, Hashem is so way distant in his Kedusha, he's hidden away distant, but today it's the Melech HaKadosh, and this Melech is here. So that's why right away we say these special prayers. Usually you don't say anything in the bracha of Kela Kadosh, because it's distant. I can't change anything. It's just I mention it and I say at the Kadosh, Shimcha Kadosh, Kadosh Mechamei Aluchasal. We praise from a distance, Akela Kadosh. But today, Tamelech Kadosh, the Melech Kadosh, and in the day of Malchus, we are literally in front of the Melech. The Melech and us are right together in the same place. So that's why this is a Chiddush, that we can already make requests from the king. The king says, what do you want? Okay, it's very nice. You came to my inauguration, and you're giving me tremendous honor and praise. Now, what can I do for you? Oh, so it's an opportunity to ask from the king things we want. So what's very interesting is that the first things we do, and this is very, it's both smart but also very typically Jewish. First things we do is we don't ask for ourselves. We say we want things for the king. See, that's very smart. That's the way it's supposed to start. When you're in front of a king, he says, okay, so what can I do? What do you want? He says, first, I want you should do things for the king. I want to make the king's name more popular. I want to make more people serve the king. I want the king's empire to get bigger. So that's what we say. Say, the Dovido Hamichu lo Kael, take Kael, who's usually far away, but make him Melech, Kulavadimon of Kadosh. He has this quality of Kedusha. Uvechein, and therefore, Yiskadesh, Shimcha Shem Lokeinu, Yisrael Amecha, Vayushalayim Yirecha, Vatim Mishkan Kvarecha, Vamachos Mashiach Elam Chanecha. Say, take this Malchus, which is hidden the whole year, and bring it down into Israel, into Yushalayim, into the Beis Hamikdash, into Malchus Beis David, Al Mechonach Beicholach, and into your house. Or as we say, we want the Malchus of Hashem to get into the world. How will this Malchus of Hashem get into the world? Through Am Yisrael. We're ready. We want that your Malchus, your kingdom, should be apparent, should be obvious to everybody. And it will be when you will create Malchus Beis Dovid Mashiachecha, you'll bring us the Mashiach, and you'll rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. Then the whole world will know. And we have today, of course, instant communication with the web, etc. So, there'll be a Beis Hamikdash, there'll be a Beis Dovid, the whole world will see. A million times more than the debate between Trump and Hillary Clinton. Last night I was driving home during the debate, so the highway is mamish empty. Empty, so I assumed the guy next to me, we weren't listening to it. So I understand, it's only 10 o'clock, usually a lot of cars, there's no cars, like 3 a.m. in the morning. He says, don't you know, red people were watching the debate. So I said, oh, now I know that when Mashiach will come, and he'll get on to give a drasha, to tell the world to watch, to do mitzvahs and do good things, there'll be no cars on the highway. We'll watch the Mashiach speak. Mahavdol, like they watch a debate. Let's watch Mashiach. That's the first thing we ask. Because we're his nation. And our city, Yerushalayim, is your city. And the Malchus, Beis David, the King David, is Mashiachecha. He's your anointed one. See, there's a very important theme. There's an identification between the Malchus of Hashem and the Malchus which he has on Israel. We'll see later on that there's a double thing going on. Hashem is Melech on the whole world, but he's a special Melech on Israel. With Israel, it's a unique type of Malchus. Because he gave us a Torah, he gave us special instructions. So we have, and the holy city of Yerushalayim, which is our capital, is his holy city. And he, so to speak, put his palace there, the Beis Hamikdash. So there's the Malchus of the world, which Hashem has, and then there's a special, particular Malchus on Israel. Melech Yisrael. He's the Melech of Israel. Melech Olam, he's the Melech of the whole world. He's also Melech of Israel, a special Melech. And basically what we're saying is that people, the world, should know the Melech of Hashem. He's the Melech of Kol Olam Kulo. We often call Yitzir, Ka'ata Yitzato. Every person has to know that you're his creator. But because of various historical reasons, which happened over the course of history, there was Adam, and then there was Noach, Mabul, and then there was Migdal, Bavel. So finally, it turned into some other Malchus, the Malchus of Hashem, which should have been in the world, came hidden in the world, but in Israel, it's apparent. Malchus of Israel. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and then we got the Torah, then we went to Eretz Yisrael, eventually had Malchus Beis David, but again, Golus, then sort of got hidden again. So what we're saying is, in order for the Malchus of Hashem to get onto the whole world, that means that people should recognize it. It has to go through the Malchus of Israel. In other words, that there'll be Malchus Beis David, Mashiach, then that'll trigger the Malchus, so the whole world will understand it. But until you have Malchus Beis David, it's not going to happen. That's what we're saying. So we're really praying Yizkada Shimcha. We want your name. We're loyal to you. We want your name to be exalted in the whole world. But we know that it can only come through Yerushalayim Ircha Malchus Beis David Mashiachecha, through Yisrael Amecha. Why? Because we're the only ones who've been loyal for 3,500 years. Everybody else straight away. No one else is loyal. We're the only ones who are loyal. So therefore, this is the reward. This is our reward, that the Malchus of Hashem in the world will come through the Malchus of Hashem in Israel. That's the first key step. Restoring Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, Malchus based on. Even now that we have the state of Israel, which is an incredible historical event, which has never happened to any other nation at all, in any form. There was never a nation which was even exiled for 1 year and was returned to the country. We were exiled for 1,900 years and we came back. And as I explained to you yesterday, the explosive, incredible growth in the state of Israel. The population increases 10 times in 50, 60 years. And it's going to increase now 100 times in another 10, 20 years, based upon all the projections of the population. It's going to go from 6 million to 60 million in 10, 20 years. So, but still, has this affected the rest of the world? Not at all. They still hate us. They still want to ban us from everything in the book. Why? Why doesn't the world see it? The answer is, it's only a beginning that the Jews came back to Israel, but we don't have Malchus Beis David. We don't have the Melech of Mashiach Ben David. We don't have Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. We don't have the Mechon Chovei Choloch. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash. When we'll have a Beis HaMikdash, when we'll have Malchus Beis David, then the rest of the world. So that's what it says. Once you have that, the first request is Malchus Beis David. And then he goes on, there'll be a bigger, much bigger Uvechein. Once we have that, we'll go to the next step. Tein Pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu Al Kol Ma'asecha. Everybody will fear the Melech. Ve'imoscha Al Kol Ma'ashebarosa. Everybody will understand you're the Creator. Ve'yerucha Kol Ha'masim. Ve'yishtachlu Fenecha Kol Ha'bruin. Ve'asu Chulam. And all the people in the world will create Aguda Achas, one unit, one group. Lasses with songs from the Leib of Sholem, to do your will, to do the mitzvos. Kemoshi Yodan, Hashem Lokenu, Shashotan Lefanecha, Oz Biyotcha, Vubi Menecha, Vishim Chanoel Kol Ma'ashev Rosa. You have the power. You have the absolute power to make this happen. So basically, what we're saying is like this, that because we're your nation and we're loyal, this is the request for the king. We want the king to become a Melech HaOlam, that the whole world should know he is the king. You are the king. It can only happen though through us. Unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you look at it, the Goyim think it's unfortunate. They don't like the fact that we were the ones who have to bring the Malchus Hashem. But it's the way it is. For us, it's a blessing that we are the ones, and we're very, you know, we're loyal. We're happy to be loyal, to be the ones, no matter what the price is. So that's why he says, he concludes, Uvechein tein kavod Hashem la'amecha. You have to give cover to your nation. People who fear you, means the Jews, will get praised. And they'll have hope, those who seek you. We're able to open our mouth. We'll be able to defend you. And there'll be simcha la'atzecha v'sosam li'recha v'tzmichas kena dover avdecha v'chaz nevesh v'mashiach mehev yomein. Now this last few words, the simcha la'atzecha v'sosam li'recha, that becomes, at that point, it becomes very personal. That, you know, they sing a niggun here. Simcha v'yatzecha v'sasam v'yirecha. So we have our own personal. It's beginning as more of as the universal situation that the melech should be melech of the world, and the way they'll become melech of the world will bring redemption to the Jewish people. But at this point, we see things like this. We say tain kavod Hashem la'amecha. Because the Jewish people is so integrated in with Hashem. So it says already in the Tanakh, whenever Jews suffer, it's a chilul Hashem, because we are the nation of Hashem. So if we're suffering, so His name is being desecrated. Someone is insulting the king because he's picking on the king's child. So someone comes over and beats up the king's child. He's insulting the king. So whenever Jews are suffering because others are persecuting us, it's an insult to Hashem. So he says, but now what we want is for Hashem's honor. But ten kavod Hashem le'mecha, because by giving kavod to the Jews, you give kavod to the to Hashem. We're upset by the chilul Hashem which is taking place. It bothers us, like if a child sees his father's being insulted. It bothers us, so we say, give us the kavod. But if you give us kavod through the other nations, It'll create a Kiddush Hashem. And then this V'sikva Tova, Jews will have hope. Like this, Jews are, sometimes we're melancholy, we're upset. This went wrong, and this went wrong, and this and that. Says, we know, we want to have Sikva Tova. Pischon Ben, open our mouth. To say. We can be able to say. No, because it's me the other day. The Prime Minister of Israel, he can't say what he wants to say. Because if he does, he gets zapped by 70 nations. They jump on him. He can't say it. He has to speak in diplomatic double talk. He can't say it the way it is. So it's not good. It's a bizarre. But unfortunately, that's the situation. He says, Pispa, if Hashem will reveal His Malchus and He'll bring a base of Migdash and make a Melech and Mashiach, you bet we'll be able to say what we have to say. No one's going to be afraid to say what he has to say, because the Melech is there to protect us, and he's open. It'll be visible that he's protecting us. So we'll say exactly what you want to say. You say, Fischon Peh, you'll open up your mouth. Lam Yachlim Loch, to those who are open for you. And then, this is a very, very personal Simcha La'atzecha V'sasan Li'recha, that the nation, the land of Israel will be happy, and the city will be Israel will be happy. If you want to have Mashiach, and then Uvachain Tzadikim Yiruv Yismachu, the Tzadikim will see all of this, they'll see the redemption, they'll be very happy. V'Yisharim Ya'lozu, and the Jews will be full of joy. The Chassidim, they'll sing in songs of joy. For Allah Tikpat Spear, the evil will be shut up. Evil will disappear like smoke. It will be blown away. Will remove all evil. This basically, it's a prayer for the Mashiach era. We go right away for the full thing. This is the day of creation. This is the day Hashem is making all the decisions. He can make the biggest decision of all. Bring Mashiach. Fix everything. Get rid of evil. So, we're not hesitating. If you're right in front of the king and he says, ask what you want, you ask for everything. Right away. You go right away for the whole thing. You're not waiting. So, okay, give me $1 million. Nothing. I want Mashiach. I want the world to be fixed. I want all evil to disappear. I want only goodness. I want the end of all suffering from the evil doers, etc., which do all of that. It's really beautiful language. The language here, v'olasa, the evil tikvah tzvi, shut its mouth, v'chalulisha kula gashem tichla. All evil will be removed like smoke, like wind blows smoke away. Kisava memshel is up. When you say these words, kisava memshel es sadim en aretz, you remove the evil empires from the world. You have to think about the enemies. ISIS, the enemies who are trying to destroy us and through us, the rest of the world. Kisavim and Shela Zadim, as we get rid of that evil. You have to think about specifically the evil empires, the evil kingdoms. Okay? Then, the Simloch, the next page, Simloch Ata Shemloch Henu Mehel Vadecha, so you'll be the only king. On Koma Secha, Bahat Sion, Mishkan Vadecha, Binu Yishlaim Yekot Shecha, because the Vekot Shecha, now really, this whole section is a prayer for Malchus. It's a prayer for Malchus. The Malchus of Hashem should be revealed into the world. He should take control. But there's going to be another Malchus in the next section. Malchus is the main theme of Rosh Hashanah, Melech HaKadosh. So it goes into many different blessings. The next blessing is the big discussion of it. But here it's also very strong, actually the request for Malchus. Then he finishes, Kodesh Ata V'Noir Shemecha V'en L'Kam Baludecha. There is no other God, because we Hashem Tzvaz Mishnah L'Kadosh Nishpat Tzdaka, V'Hat Hashem Melech HaKadosh. Okay, now, the next blessing has to do with the blessing of Ata V'Chatanu. It's the blessing of Kedusha Sayom. This is the bracha we make specially every yontiv, and today specifically for Rosh Hashanah. So he says like this: Ata v'chatan mekol amin, half the son of Tzisa banu, kantan mekol shonos, kantan mitzisecha, akana b'nes. Now, the truth is, you know, in the original, the previous blessing, he's talking about simloich. At Hashem El Aladech, I'll call Masecha, God be king of the whole world. But, as we said, there's a specific choice of Israel. So, and the thing is like this, is there's certain, Rosh Hashanah happens to be in many ways a very hard day to figure out. It's a peculiar day. It's Malchus of Hashem for the whole world, but the world doesn't know about this. The only ones who know about this are the Jews. So, it's especially Yom Malchus for the Melech Yisrael. We know that the Melech Yisrael is the Melech HaKol HaOlam Kulo. So in the prayers, you bounce back and forth from the two platforms. There's a platform, Melech Yisrael, our king. There's another platform, Melech HaKol HaOlam. So basically, it's very intertwined. In the bracha of HaMelech HaKadosh, which you just read, there, I would say, it's like a 50-50 focus. You focus as much on the Melech HaOlam as you focus on the Melech Yisrael. And in a certain way, you're saying there that the Melech HaOlam is what we want, but it has to come together with Melech Yisrael. By being the Melech in Yerushalayim, you become the Melech HaOlam. But the request there is really Melech HaOlam. This next bracha, the main focus is Melech Yisrael. You are Melech. This is the day we are coronating you as our Melech. Melech Yisrael. You're the Melech Yisrael. That's what we started. Ata v'chatanu mikol ha'am. We are special. We have a special relationship which allows us to celebrate this day as the day of Melech Yisrael. V'havta esonu v'tzisa banu. You chose us. You liked us. You elevated us from other languages. You gave us mitzvos. And you brought us close to your service. You gave us your name. You gave us this day of remembrance. Yom Teruah, it's the day to blow a shofar. So these are the two words the Torah uses to describe the day. It says, Zichron Teruah. It's the day of Zichron Teruah. It's the day of Zichron. God remembers, or God pays attention to people. It means making decisions about life and death, etc. Yom Teruah, to blow a shofar. Mikro Kodesh, Zeichel Etzias Mitzrayim. And it's also about leaving Mitzrayim. When we left Mitzrayim, we were given the holidays. We were given the Chagim. The Chagim are purely Mekadesh Yisrael, Yom HaZikaron. It's only purely for the Jews. Even though many of the themes of the holidays are universal, like Rosh Hashanah, is one very, very universal for the whole world, but it's specifically given to Am Yisrael. It's very interesting. You have to think about it, this interplay. But so right now we're focusing on Atav V'chatonu Mikol Am, but Titanon Hashem gave us a special holiday. Now, really, we say like this, when you're talking about Israel and Hashem, it's a very, you know, up and down. When we're doing well, so we're in Yerushalayim and there's a base of Mikdash. You're not doing well, you're in Golos. And there is no base of Mikdash. As long as there's no base of Mikdash, we know that it's Golos. I don't care how many Jews are in Israel, 6 million, 60 million, 600 million. Without a base of Mikdash, the Golos is still there, because Beis HaMikdash is the definition of redemption. The definition of redemption is Hashem gave us a Mishkan. He resides with us in the house. There's a Mishkan, there's a Beis HaMikdash, now we're redeemed. Until that happens, we're not redeemed. So we say, you can be living in Eretz Yisrael, you can be davening shul with 10,000 Jews, you can be at a kotel, and you're saying this. Why? Because there's no Beis HaMikdash. It's still Golos. We can't bring the Kabbalah to Beis HaMikdash by doing Kodesh Nekashim Cholot. We'll bring the korban as tamid musafim kelchasam. We'll do the kabbonos, as it says in the pasuk, over chodesh hashvi, be a holiday, and you yom chui yolachem, and you have a korban par ben bokor echad, ayel echad, and seven kvasim, and shnei siyum lechaper, and shnei siyum lechelchasim. This is pure. This is a pure Jewish prayer for restoration of the Beis HaMikdash and the Korbanos Hayom. This is not a universal focus. This is pure Jewish. We need a Beis HaMikdash. We want a Beis HaMikdash. Without a Beis HaMikdash, all we do is pray and say the Psukim. We hope Neshama promise for Seinu by saying the Psukim. It's as if we brought the Korban. Okay, now we turn the page. Now, we start whole discussion here of Malchus. This is going to lead to the shofar. This is going to lead us to the shofar. This is the main bracha of the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah, Malchus. First the Korbanos of Rosh Hashanah, Korbanos, and then the prayer for Malchus. So first say, Olein L'Shabech Adon HaKol. Okay, that we were chosen. Hey, Mishtachim Havarik. Now Mishtachim Mordim Amal Kaddish Baruch Hu. God created the world. And He's absolutely the only King. For Yadan Shavaz Lavechel Kashem Lod Mishmarim Einod. So we are hoping that you will come back and reveal your presence. Destroy idols. false beliefs, make the world your kingdom, and all people should call out your name, and all evil people should do tshuva, should repent, and everybody should know you and bow to you and swear with your name and give your name honor, and b'kabel chulam as ol machusecha, they should all accept your kingdom. So this is universal. You want the kingdom in the world. Now we have 10 psukim. Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofus, each of them has 10 psukim. First we state the thesis. The thesis is God is the king. However, there's a problem that this kingdom is not recognized except by the Jews. So we want this kingdom to roll out on the world. That's the request. That's the statement and request. He's king, however, only Jews recognize this. We would like this kingdom to be recognized by the world. And it's going to happen. And people will do tshuva. They have to do tshuva. So he said like this. Where's this from, Sukkim? First it says in the Torah, Hashem Yimloch L'Olam V'Ed. God is always king. He's always king. Whether people know it or not, it's irrelevant. Hashem Yimloch L'Olam V'Ed. God is always king. It doesn't make a difference. People say yes and people say no. It's not a question of a vote. He's making the decisions. You like it or you don't like it. He creates, he gives life, and he takes away life. You like it or not. One day you walk in the street, next day you're hit by a car. It's God's decision. You have nothing to say about it. Hashem Yimloch L'Olam V'Ed. You're born, you live, you die. It's Hashem's world. Hashem Yimloch L'Olam V'Ed. It's irrelevant what people say. So first of all, that's the absolute truth. It's irrelevant. God doesn't need people. We need God. He doesn't need us. So it's His kingdom is absolute. His kingdom is not relevant. It doesn't depend on people. But as people, we feel the need for it. And as Jewish people, we feel the need for it to be complete for us and revealed to the world. That's what we feel. This is our need. But he starts off, Hashem Yimloch L'Olam V'Ed. God's kingdom is forever. It's absolute. It has nothing to do with people. That's number one. Now we go over to number two. The Nemala, Hibit Oven B'Yakov, V'Loro Amal B'Yisrael, Hashem L'Kov Imo, V'Suas Melech Bo. But God didn't see any evil or wickedness among the Jews and Israel. And therefore God, Hashem, became his God, the God of Israel, and his love of the king became established in Israel. So things like this. In this pasuk, the second pasuk, we say, there's Malchus Yisrael. Hashem, even though I'm Yimloch L'Olam V'Ed, Hashem is absolutely king, irrelevant with people. It has nothing to do with people. He doesn't need people. He has angels. He doesn't need angels either. But he took Israel. He went all the way down from the highest sphere, where he is all by himself. He went all the way down from angels and all kinds of creatures and worlds and universes, and came down all through all the big universe and make a planet Earth. And on Earth he made people, and on people he picked the Jews from everything. And he gave us the Torah. And he became our king. The name, as it says, Yishun. Yishun means Israel. In Yishun, he became the king. Yisrael. So it's a paradox. We don't understand this paradox. How the infinite, limitless, absolutely, totally powerful, and completely independent Hashem decided to go all the way down, 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 down to take a small group of people in a tiny little country called Israel to make Malchus Hashem in Yisrael. But he did it. He did it. We don't know why. He did it. So he says here a certain reason. He says, the Hasidic Sfarim like this, Lo hibit oven b'Yakov, lo ro amo b'Yisrael. God didn't see any evil in Jacob or badness in Israel. Hashem l'kov imo, God's with him, and he became their melech. It seems like this. The Jews are great. The Jews are great because the Jews at the core are good. whatever Jews do on the outside, but inside, deep, they're good. They want to do good things. Even you see sometimes a Jew will might not do the right thing, but he says it's good. He wants to do good, but sometimes he gets, you know, gets what they call in Yiddish fadreit. He gets a little bit confused. So the confusion leads him astray. But basically, at the core, lo ra omo, there's no evil in Israel. There's no absolute evil in Israel. You know, the Gemara says a very interesting thing. Kol am posel b'mumo posel. When Reuven calls Shimon a name, most probably that name describes Reuven. When someone insults someone else and calls him a name, he probably is talking about himself. But he's embarrassed to say it about himself, so he transfers it to someone else. He calls the other fellow a crook, because he's a crook. So he calls the other guy a crook. He calls him unfaithful, because he's unfaithful. That's the way people are. It's a nature of people. Call a posel, b'mumo posel. So the world calls the Jews many times evil, gangsters. Who's the gangster? They're the gangsters. We're not the gangsters. I'll give you an example. The world was condemning Israel right and left because Israel, a couple of years ago, was bombing Gaza. The Arab terrorists threw 3,000 rockets on cities. It was a miracle. God made 98% of the rockets miss. The 2% which were on target, the Jews had a defense system called Iron Dome, so they knocked down from the 40 rockets which got through. So they knocked them down. Good. So to retaliate, Israel decided to blow up houses in Gaza. So it wouldn't blow up a house until it dropped leaflets on the house for 2 days. Get out, get out, get out, because we're going to bomb your house. And then at the end, they bombed the house. So they bombed, I don't know, they bombed 1,000 houses after warning people for 2 days. Still, some people, first of all, those houses, many of them had rockets in them. They usually bombed houses where they shot the rockets from them. They had the pictures. They knew where it was coming from. So these terrorists stayed in the house. They thought that they could survive a bombing attack, whatever. So some terrorists got killed. So the Chrei, so you know, whatever, maybe 200 terrorists got killed. So the world condemns Israel. Oh, terrible, 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 terrible. You bombed houses, blah, 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 blah. Created so much damage, $1 billion worth of damage. 2 years later, there's a war in Syria. 70 different countries are in that war, bombing away. The Russians, who condemned the Israelis for blowing up some houses, they're dropping bunker buster bombs on civilians. They're killing about 1,000 civilians a day. Does the world say anything? No, nothing. Israel's guilty. So the point is like this. The Jews, they do good. They want to do good things. We don't want to hurt anybody, but they throw rockets at us. We have to retaliate, make them stop. Eventually, after bombing 1,000 houses, the enemy over there stopped throwing the rockets. They figured we're losing all our houses, so we have to live in tents. So they decided, okay, we'll stop throwing rockets. Meanwhile, the Russians are bombing civilians. They made 10 million, there's already, out of a country of 30 million people, 10 million are refugees in Syria. About 250,000 are dead. Does anybody say anything? No. Nobody. Once in a while they'll say something, but they know it's just a make-believe. So, what's the terrors? What's the chilek? The chilek is like this, that they talk of mean people, these ISIS or the Russians, both sides are mean. You can't say that at the heart they're good. They attack very bad at the core. They attack and want to kill. a million people, it's fine. They don't care. They'll kill 100,000 for 200,000. A million doesn't make a chilek. We have to win. The Israelis are Jewish. So because we're Jewish, the Taka don't want to kill people. So we drop leaflets for 2 days. And at the end, we bomb empty houses. And because we bomb empty houses, so they get condemned. But Hashem, he says, I know that you mean to do well. Your real intention is you'd rather not bomb even the houses. Lo ra'am will be Israel. That's why Hashem will cover him. That's why he chose us. Then it says, God is the king. And Hashem Moloch is Lovesh. Lovesh Hashem owes his Adam and Matamot. The name is Sushon Mashiach, not the Pizma Chakovid. He's Malkov Shem, is the Givish of Muhammad, who knows Malkov itself. So, like this, he says, a king has power. Yes?
I have a question back on, like, why the Jews are a chosen nation. Is it Hashem chose us and then we became like this, or we were always like this and that's why Hashem chose us?
According to the Hasidus, okay, there's a very excellent question. It's a machlokas, I think, between certain mefarshim, let's say, and the Hasidus. Well, maybe you can say the mefarshim who are go nigla, who go on the revealed part of the Torah, and the mefarshim who go nista on the secret. The mefarshim who go nigla say Jews made the right decision. In other words, the Jews decided, like Avraham, who was the first, he decided to go after Hashem. Yitzhak and Yaakov, Yosef, the Jews left Egypt, they followed Moshe. So at various points, we made courageous, heroic decision to be loyal and to follow Hashem. And therefore Hashem gave us the blessing of the Torah, and that made us special getting the Torah, but it was because of our decisions. So basically our decisions triggered what happened later, that we became a holy nation. We chose well. So that's the classical, if you read Chumash and you read the Tanakh and you read the Rashi and the Ramban, that's what they're saying. When you go over to the Zohar and into Hasidus, the Kabbalah, it's the other way. The Zohar and the Kabbalah say when Hashem created people, he created certain special souls which have a strong tendency for being good and for choosing Hashem. And those souls he put into the group that we call Jewish. So in a certain way, we were given, Hashem chose us, and that's how we're behaving, because of he chose us first before we chose him. That's the Zohar. It's in the Tanya also. The Hasidus is a very strong idea that the Jews are naturally good and holy. Okay, good time. Let's just do another three, 4 minutes to finish this blessing. So he says, we're praying for Malchus. Malchus, God could impose it. God could impose it. And we say, maybe he will impose it. Maybe he will. Hashem give him Muhammad. Maybe he will. Maybe there will be a war. Hashem will impose it. It's part of our prayers. We're not so confident that we could do it ourselves, that we can bring the kingdom of Hashem into the world through our good deeds. If we do good deeds, one of the secrets is that if Jews keep the Torah enough, then they themselves will bring in the kingdom of Hashem and Mashiach. Forget the rest of the world. That's what will benefit, but it's going to be directly because of Jewish actions. That's one scenario. In other words, we do tshuva, some pashas nitzavim, and Hashem will redeem the world, us and the world. However, There's another scenario. Hashem yimnoch l'olam v'ed. Hashem eases v'gibor. Hashem gim. God will do it on his own. He'll do it on his own. He invested into the world, so therefore he, at some point, will say, I see the people can't do it. Let me do it for them. Especially the Jewish people. So we pray for both ways. In these psukim here, in the V'divrei Kot Shecha, we are praying Hashem should do it not because of us. Do it himself. And then we finish off with the prophecy of the Nevi'im that it definitely will happen. God says, I am the first, I am the only. He has total control. And it will happen. There'll be a judgment on the evildoers. Hashem will be king from Tzion. It will happen. That the Jews now have Hashem the Melech. So, really, I think that the praise, and to finish off with the final prayer, Hashem, I can't even say, Meloch, I'll call all of Kulo Bechvodecha, become the Melech. He knows the words of Kurecha. Bring the base of Migdosh. Let the whole world know you're their creator. And any living thing will say, Hashem, Lekei Yisrael, is the Melech of Israel, and Malchusa Bakol Mashallah, and the Melech of the whole world. I think what you see is like this, that then, Kachen Mitzvah, let us do mitzvahs and Torah, and let us have Simcha, and give us purity of heart. Your words are true. So basically, it ends on a very high note that there will be, it will be Melech al kol haaretz. He is the Melech. Mekadesh Yisrael b'Emes Zikaron. He made the Jews and Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. He is Melech and will be Melech. In a certain way, you see it. Because you finish with the Nevi'im are prophecies, and they say, V'hoi Hashem l'melech al kol ha'oretz, Yomi Hashem l'chod l'shmo l'chod. So we say, Shema Yisrael Hashem l'ken Hashem l'chod, that's now, but V'hoi Hashem l'melech al kol ha'oretz, that will be. But it's so strong at this point that you actually see it. You see the future now. That's how the blessing goes. That the Malchus of the future, we see it today. We see it already. It has to play out, but we already see it. And, don't forget, Rosh Hashanah is a day which is looking for the future. So we already see in this crystal ball of Rosh Hashanah the mouth of Hashem on the whole world, a kol haaretz. And because before this we said Hashem gibor milchama, we're saying it's inevitable. We would like it to be through us. Kachen with mitzvah secha. We would like it to be that we should do it the right way. But we would want to do it that way. But we'd say it's going to happen anyway. Because Hashem yimnoch l'olam v'ed, Hashem gibor milchama, Hashem, it has to happen. God did not create the world. There's another underlying idea here. God, Hashem did not create the world to ultimately destroy the world. It will be a successful experiment, a successful investment. God is not going to create this world and then destroy it, even though we have it now. And the Gemara says, Hashem, Borei Olamos U'Machrivon, there were other worlds before this one that God created and destroyed. There were worlds which were created and then destroyed. Maybe the dinosaur world. There was a world, but it was destroyed. This world that we're in will never be destroyed. That's a fundamental underlying postulate or belief. This world will succeed. Hashem yimloch l'olam v'ed. It will happen. For Hoy Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. Yeh Hashem echad u'shmach. Now, Bosa, I want to tell you one thing. I was in Israel a couple of days ago, and it was by the Kotel. And I'm standing by the Kotel and I see so many, literally thousands of people coming through. Jews, non-Jews, Americans, Asians, Europeans, everybody. So obviously something very big is going on, that Jews and non-Jews are drawn and coming in these level of numbers. Then about Kaveh Rachel, and literally it's exactly what the prophets predicted. They tell Rachel, "Man, stop crying. The Jews will come back." Yes, I see hundreds of Jewish children coming to daven by Kaveh Rachel. That means they came back. So you look up there and you see on the other side of the mountain, you don't see a Beis Hamikdash. You see something else. So I say to myself, it's so inevitable that there will be a Beis Hamikdash there. Like everything else which is coming true, the Jews come back to the land is being rebuilt, the non-Jews are coming to see it and they're astonished by how what's going on, the tourists, they want to see. And then the Dafka this time, twice I went down at the base of the on the other side of the Kotel Maravi, go towards the south. They opened up a plaza there for the Reform Jews, whatever, to go there. Anyway, it's open to the public. You go down there, you see the stones, maybe 50 huge pieces of stone that the Romans threw off from the second base of Migdash when they destroyed it and burnt it. They threw it to the ground. It was underneath, it was buried for centuries. Now they dug it up. You literally see with your own eyes what the Romans did over 1,900 years ago. And you even see the rocks, or there's not rocks, these granite pieces of masonry that they built the wall from. And you see some of them black from the fire. But meanwhile, we're here. We're back. The Romans, they disappeared. They lasted a long time. It was a 1,000-year empire, but they're no more Romans. They're gone. We're back. So I say to myself, will there be a Beis Hamikdash on the other side? It has to be. Because so much has come true already. That will also come true. So these prayers here, they're saying you can be living in Warsaw, in wherever, you can be living in Fez, Morocco, and you say these prayers, you see it. You see it. Aliday Nevi'im. The Nevi'im said there's going to be. Hashem will come back. He's going to rebuild the temple. It will be. When you're there, you see it. So we're both saying we're living in a very special time, because so much of the prophecies has already come true. That's what's unbelievable. We're living a prophetic era. You're living in the time of where prophecies are coming true. We don't have a prophet, but we have the old prophets. They spoke about 3,000 years ago, and they said this would happen, and it happened. We're seeing it. So, and it seems to me that the Beis Hamikdash step is a very small physical step compared to everything else that's already taken place. We already own the mountain. We control the mountain. Of course, the Israeli police and soldiers, they tell you go up or don't go up. It's in our hands, like Dayan said, Harabayit Biadeno. It's in our hands. It's not like it was by Herzl, where the country was full of Turks and didn't belong to anybody. He goes to the Turkish Empire and says, "We want to please one day make a Jewish state." That's a much more difficult project. This is a piece of cake, physically. It only it's a huge spiritual step. It's a huge spiritual step. So it seems, on a spiritual level, gigantic to have a Beis Hamikdash. Physically, it's a little thing. It's not a big deal physically at this point. So when you look at it, you say, I believe it will happen. It will happen because so much has come true already. So the Rosh Hashanah prayers are very strong. The Rosh Hashanah prayers make the prophecies real. in our minds, as we say them. We see it. We believe it and we experience it. And as I said, if we can combine, all of us who know been in Israel, if we can combine the real experience that we have together with this spiritual, prophetic experience of the prayers, then we're doing it the right way. Then it's actually the correct way to pray on Rosh Hashanah. Thank you.